have a great message that I want to teach, and I think the kids are going to love it, but I think the adults may really, really love it, guys, okay? So go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 6, okay? We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark for a little bit. And I really want to set the stage of what's happening here. We're only 6 chapters into the Gospel of Mark, but if you line them up chronologically, the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a whole lot's been happening by the time that we get to this scene. Now, Jesus didn't start his public ministry until he was 30 years old. Do you know what he was doing before that? He was a carpenter with his dad, which is a great job for the creator of the universe, isn't it? A great architect and builder, and he's building our lives, is he not? But at 30, he gets baptized by John the Baptist. He goes into the wilderness, starts his public ministry, and when he comes back, he is so full of the power and the strength and the authority of the Lord. And people are drawn to him. They're drawn to Jesus. Have you ever thought about what it must have been like in that day? Jesus just walking around, talking to people, and everyone's drawn to him because he was so loving and he was so good. He was so kind. But also, you know what? He told them the truth. They were drawn to him, not just for what he was doing, but what he was saying. And he taught to them in parables, in stories, and in illustrations. And he was teaching them wherever he went. But you know what else he was doing? He was healing people that could never walk. They could walk again. People who were blind, they could see. All kinds of things. People who had evil spirit inside of them, the Lord delivered them from those. And he was doing all kinds of miraculous things, right? Supernatural, amazing things. And it started to draw a crowd. And everywhere he went, he was drawing a crowd. Can you imagine everywhere you went, someone followed you? Not just one person or two people, but thousands of people. You couldn't even go to the park and they're like, Alexis is here. Hurry, everyone, get to the park. She's here. What is she going to say to us today? What is she going to do today? That's what's happening on this scene in Mark, okay? And it's going to sound familiar to you guys. All of you maybe have heard this story before, but you maybe never have heard it this way. All right, so this is Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. Okay, the guys had been sent out on a ministry tour, basically on some local outreach, all right, a local mission trip. He'd sent them out, sent out the disciples, and they had gone out preaching and teaching, and they came back to Jesus. It says they returned to Jesus from their ministry tour, and they told him all they had done and taught. And then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. All the introverts said, amen. But even extroverts, this can sound good, especially when you've been on tour, when you've been out serving and working, and you come back in, and he said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Have you ever been so busy that you forgot to eat? It's weird. It's not often for me. I'm thinking about my next meal when I've eaten the current meal, okay? But how many of you guys have been so busy playing, building a fort, digging a hole, whatever it is you're doing, you forgot to eat, and then you realize, I haven't even eaten all day. I bet your parents have felt that. And your grandparents and the adults in this room, they get so busy that they're like, when am I going to be able to grab a bite to eat? So they left by boat. Are you picturing it? Get that in your mind. Jesus and the disciples got in a boat. They left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. So the crowd was there. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. And what do you think Jesus did? Not again. Can't you guys leave me alone for 1 second? I need my privacy. I was trying to rest. I was trying to have a break. Do you think that's what Jesus did? No. We know Jesus better, don't we? He looked at that crowd that had gathered, and it says he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. He began to teach them. They were sheep without a shepherd. They didn't have leadership. They didn't have someone guiding and leading and tending to them. And he had compassion. So he began to teach them many things. Late in the afternoon, sun's starting to set, that his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late." I think somebody's stomach started to growl right about then. They said, "Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." Here's the thing, they didn't have McDonald's or Chick-fil-A. They didn't have Walmart or Fresh, Nature's Grocer. They didn't have any of that. They had what was growing in their gardens. Sometimes the market was open, but when they were hungry, they didn't go to the store and buy a loaf of bread. They baked a loaf of bread. The food wasn't as available. We go to our pantry. How many of you guys, you get the slightest little hunger pain and you say, "I need popcorn right now." The slightest little hunger pain and you're starving. They didn't have anything. He said, send the crowds out to the nearby farms and villages to buy something to eat. But you know what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, "You feed them. You feed them." And they said, "With what?" They're looking around. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." Months and months and months. It would take all of your piggy banks and some, and your parents' savings, okay, to buy enough food. This was a huge crowd, bigger than the crowd in this room. So Jesus said, "How much bread do you have? How much bread do you have?" And they must have given him, not answered, they must have been like, how many of you guys, your parents have asked you a question and you go, is that familiar, parents? It should be. Hopefully it's not just in my house. I don't know. Do you know what he said? Listen to what he said. "Go and find out. Go out into the crowd and find out." Now, I need some volunteers with you guys right now. Okay, Emma Kate, Sophia, you three boys, come here. Dreamer, Max, you're Max? Okay. Y'all hold on. How many is that? I need you guys to go out and see if there's any food in this room. Spread out this way. Girls, y'all go this way. Spread out. Is there any food in the house? What do y'all have? You don't actually. Yeah. Look around. Ooh, what do we have here? Okay. Keep looking. Hey, what does she have? Keep looking. Come on, keep going. There's probably some more. Keep going. What do we have in the house? Oh, sweet. Thank you. Let's sit these right here. Sit them right here. What you got? Not yet. You're going to get a bite. Come on, let's see what else you have. Did you find anything? Hey, we're missing. There's some more things. What do you have?
I got the fish.
You got a fish? You got a fish? And some loaves? Okay, I think that's everybody. Y'all come and count. Come here and count. How many loaves of bread?
Five.
Five?
And two fish.
And how many fish?
Two.
And an RX bar. We serve a hip Jesus, okay? Y'all can sit back down. Sit back down.
Can I take a break?
In a minute. You certainly can in just a minute. So they came back. Look at what it says in verse 38, 39. It says, they came back and reported, "We have five loaves of bread and two fish." And I don't think they were like, "Yes." I think they're like, "Not enough. Not enough. Five loaves and two fish." And then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Don't you love Jesus sweet like that? He goes, "Find them a place on the green grass. Let's get them comfortable. Let's get them comfortable. Have them sit in groups of 50 or 100. He's orderly. I like that about Jesus too. That's also how they were able to count how many people, okay? So they're getting into the groups. And look at what Jesus did. He took the five loaves and the two fish, and he looked up toward heaven. He's offering this to God, and he blessed it. And then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving. Say that with me. He kept giving. He kept giving the bread to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. Now, if you didn't get to volunteer last time, come up here, grab a basket, and go distribute this bread Unless you're celiac, don't refuse this, okay? Go ahead, walk around. Go ahead, take it. Go ahead. Make sure you spread out. Hey, go down the aisle, all the way to the back. Go down this aisle. Great. Do you want to take this and break it off and share that? Do you want to take that? Y'all walk down the aisle. Go share it with everybody. Sure, take a piece off. Do it. Everybody take a roll. Take some bread. Keep going. You can totally eat this. It's clean. We washed our hands. You can eat it. Smell it. Smell it. Feel it. I just want to declare in the name of Jesus, bread is good. He divided this out and the fish. We're not doing that tonight. But for illustration's sake, they probably would have been smoked or just whole fish, and I didn't want to stink up the house. I'm sure someone, if I dared them, would eat this. I just want to say the guy at Petland, when I said, I just need two fish, he started telling me all these things because they're really eager to help, how to keep them alive, and I just said, I need them to live 24 hours, dude. And he was like, what? He was crushed, and I was like, okay, give me some food, all right. We'll take care of them. 5 loaves. Look at this. Are y'all still? We have even left over. You can put it in the basket if you want. We have bread left over. Look at that. That's awesome. Did everybody get some bread? Hold it up. Smell it. Taste it. Hear it. Get your piece. Listen to this. They all ate as much as they wanted. You can set it in there. You can have it. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up, guess how many baskets of leftovers? 12. So not only did their bellies get full, they're like, please, I can't eat another bite. Oh, okay, I'll have another bite. It's like Texas Day Brazil. You're like, oh yeah, I'll take another piece. And they had so much food that they collected 12 baskets. 12 more baskets. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed from those loaves. You know, scholars believe that was 15,000 to 20,000 people that got fed. That's like an arena of people. That's like cities. A whole city's worth got fed. That's what happens, guys, when we bring our lack to Jesus. You listening? That's what happens when we take our lack. When we take our not enough, he says, go find it. What you got? He says, go and find it. When we take our lack to him, Jesus gives back in abundance. That's the exchange. That's what he likes to do. He likes to take what we think is insufficient and make it more than enough. And he may be asking you guys and kids, for y'all to learn this now. Parents, for us to model this now to our kids. When Jesus says, what do you have? What are you offering back? And I know that in a room this size, someone could say, I can offer exhaustion. I'm exhausted. Do you know what Jesus gives back? Refreshment. Right? He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened. What does he say he'll give you? We give our burden to him, our exhaustion to him. He gives us rest. Some of you guys may be saying, when the Lord says, what do you have? Go find it. What do you have? What do you have to give me? You may be thinking, insufficiency. I don't have enough. It's insufficient. What I do have, it's not enough. And do you know what the Lord says? He gives back a sufficient grace. Remember, Paul says that his grace is sufficient. If insufficiency has been rattling through your heart and soul and it's a lie that you've been believing, I'm insufficient, the Lord says, I give you sufficient grace. Maybe some of you guys are like, it's incompetency. When the Lord says, come, bring to me what you have, all I can think about is it's incompetent. It's not skilled enough. It's not as good as the next person. I haven't quite developed it. I'm really not a rock star at anything. I'm really kind of a behind the scenes person. I'm not really competent in anything. And you know what Jesus says? Bring that to me and I'll give you supernatural ability. That's what he likes to do. Maybe you're saying, I'm just weak. I fail all the time. I'm just weak. What could I bring to the Lord but my weakness? I say I'm going to do better, and you know what? I don't do better, and so I'm just not going to bring anything. Do you know what the Lord says? Bring me that. Bring me that. Bring me that weakness. You guys know what he's going to give you back, right? Strength. Do you know what that strength comes from? The joy of the Lord. Even when you're feeling weak, especially when you're feeling weak, how about this? You're broken beyond repair. You are broken and poured out. You are like, if I withstand one more trial, I don't think I could be more broken. And that's people in this room. You're going through hard things, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And you know what the Lord says? Bring it to me. Bring your brokenness to me. Bring me your lack. And I will bring you wholeness and healing. That's his promise, you guys. He takes that little that we have, like a mustard seed, remember? Faith, the size. He takes the tiny, look at what he does. He takes tiny and exchanges it for excessive. You take the faith of a mustard seed, and he says, I'll give you the strength to move mountains. Bigger than anything that we could possibly imagine. You guys turn to Mark 8. Couple of days, maybe weeks down the road. Mark is known for his brevity in the gospel, so we don't know exactly how long. But look at chapter 8. At this time, another large crowd had gathered, and the people ran out of food again. They ran out of food again. Remember, there were no drive-thrus. Okay? Jesus called his disciples, and he told them, I feel sorry for these people. Look at that again. He's like, I feel sorry for them. He has compassion. They ran out. They ran out. How many of you guys have been like, I've ran out? I know that feeling. They ran out. He said, they've been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat. I can promise every mom in the room has said that before. Maybe not out loud, but I got nothing left. I got nothing left. He said, if I send them home hungry, they will faint along the way. For some of them have come a long distance. I want you to notice the compassion of the Lord right there. He is not shaming them or condemning them or browbeating them that they didn't have enough or that they ran out, that they had nothing left to give. He had compassion. He felt sorry for them. He was like, I can't send them back home. They'll faint. They'll faint. They need food. We can imagine Jesus was hoping in this moment, okay? He's just hoping that one of the disciples might say, hey, Jesus, you did this before, right? They're like, didn't you? What? You did this, right? I mean, we were there. We helped pass out the bread. You blessed it. You fed thousands of people. God, you did this before. You can do it again. Don't you know he's hoping that one of them's just going to be like, hey, wait, Jesus, you do the miraculous in our lives. Jesus hoped they would regard his past faithfulness as a promise to meet a present need. I want to say that again. He hopes that we will regard his past faithfulness as a promise to meet a present need. That's what he's desiring. His disciples replied, how are we supposed to find enough food to feed them out here in the wilderness? How are we supposed to find that? Jesus asks, how much bread do you have? I want you to look at that. He made it personal this time. The first time he says, go find what's out there. And this time he says, listen, I know they have nothing left. What do you have? What could you muster up? What could you give on behalf of someone who's so exhausted they'll faint on the way home? He made it personal in that moment. And again, he takes their lack and their not enough, and he gives back abundantly. And they say, 7 loaves. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves. He thanked God for them and he broke them into pieces again. We won't repeat this. He gave them to the disciples who distributed the bread to the crowd. So it's happening again, isn't it? All these people are getting fed. And at first they just said there's 7 loaves. But look at this in verse 7. A few small fish were found too. Like either somebody was holding that back for the walk home, or maybe like us, they said, this isn't enough to do anything, what could these two small goldfish in a jar do to feed anyone? But do you see what happens when we give to the Lord, when we obediently give, and people around us watch the Lord come through in big ways? It inspires the everyone around to go, oh, hey, I got two fish. Maybe they had been holding that back, hoarding, thinking, no, what if I need this? But it inspired, they said, no, look, these are just two fish. When I give it to Jesus, what can he do? He can do so much more than us just holding and hoarding back for ourselves. And he took that and he blessed it too. They ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were about 4,000 people in the crowd, probably more because that's probably just men. And Jesus sent them home after they had eaten. They were full and ready to go back home, full of his provision. Immediately after this, say that, immediately. Immediately after this supernatural miracle of Jesus, they get in a boat. He gets in a boat with his disciples. So picture it. You got your eyes closed. Jesus is back in a boat going across the Sea of Galilee to this place, this region, Dalmanutha, when the Pharisees, you guys can open your eyes, the religious leaders, the hoity-toity, self-righteous religious leaders, when they heard that Jesus arrived, they came and they started to argue with him. They're always testing him and they're always demanding things of him. They're always trying to catch him in some kind of lie, but Jesus is smart. He knows. But you know what they were doing this time? And this is important, parents. They were demanding a sign from Jesus. This is the thing. This is what it says. They were demanding a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. I'm thinking what had just happened was enough of a sign of his authority, that he can take someone's lack, multiply it, fill bellies, and send them on their way. Okay? But they're demanding this sign of his authority. And when he heard this, it says he sighed deeply in his spirit. You know? Oh, y'all ever hear and see that at home? Oh. Why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, I will not give this generation any such sign. He's like, no, if you're going to miss the ones that I'm giving, I'm not going to give you one on demand. All right? So you know what Jesus did? Got back in the boat. Okay, you picturing it? Close your eyes. He got back in the boat. Goes back home. Crossed back the lake. Look at verse 14, guys. But the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. Apparently, they missed out on the extra baskets, okay? They forgot to bring any food. They're on the boat. It says they had only 1 loaf of bread with them in that boat. Man, what's the deal with the bread, huh? As they were crossing the lake, you know what? Jesus is watching. He's watching them. He's picking up on something in the boat. You know what he's picking up on? Anxiety, dread, irritation, frustration. He's picking up the vibe in the boat. Before anyone's even saying anything, he knows what they're thinking. And he says, he warns them, watch out. What are they watching out for? Watch out. This has an exclamation point, so it was probably more like, watch out, dude. Watch out. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. He just had this encounter with the Pharisees. Do you want to know what that yeast was? Do you know what it takes for this bread to get fluffy like this? A teeny bit of yeast, leaven, to work through the whole lump of dough. It only takes a little bit, and it spreads through the whole batch. And he saw this in their hearts. And do you know what the sin was? What he was warning his disciples, what he's warning us about? Do you know what he's saying beware of? The sin of unbelief that leads to a hardened heart. That you aren't going to have unbelief like they have had unbelief in their hearts. I'm sitting right here in the boat with you. Beware. Don't drink that Kool-Aid. I know where this heads. I know what this is going to do to you. And then look what happens. At this, they began to argue with each other. I was going to have y'all act that out, but we get the picture. They began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. They're hungry. And they're arguing with each other. And Jesus knew what they were saying. And so he starts these rapid fire questions. I don't know if you've ever been in trouble with someone, a teacher, a parent, a boss. And when those rapid fire questions that you don't even have time to answer, do you know what I'm talking about? This is what Jesus said. Why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes you can't see. You have ears you can't hear. Don't you remember anything at all? When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterwards? What did the disciples say? 12. I don't think they were looking at him at this time. I think they were just like, 12. And then he said, when I fed the 4,000, hello, earlier today, when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up?
7.
We must be careful too, you guys. If Jesus said it to them, he's saying it to us. This applies as much to us today. We're not in a boat in the Galilee, and we're not fighting over bread. We got a big old potluck waiting for us, right? But he says, be careful. Hey, guys, what happens? Parents, what happens? Adults in the room, listen to me. What happens in our hearts and who we are? What happens when we focus on what's insufficient rather than remembering that Jesus is our portion, that he's our provision, that he's our provider? What happens in us? Do you know the answers are found in these 8 questions? Because these questions expose their hearts. These questions expose. He's asking questions he knows the answer to. He didn't need them to answer. He knew what was in their hearts. What happens to us when we begin to doubt the faithfulness of the Lord, his provision that he's going to come through? What happens when we start worrying about the lack and focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have? What happens? Here's the first thing. We get argumentative and accusatory. Think about it. You may think, that's never been me. The next time lack, you start getting a little anxious about what you don't have. Think about this. They began to cast blame. We look for someone to blame for our lack. Think about it. If he loved me this much, if she just did this for me, if he just would do that, if I could just, if this would just, if only. And we start looking around. Well, if I had just had a better opportunity. Well, if my dad hadn't of this. Well, if I had gotten to go to college. Well, think about that. Think about when we are in lack, what starts to brew inside of us when we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. We get argumentative, we get accusatory, we start casting blame. You know what else happens? Our understanding gets dulled. Our understanding, and that may not seem like a big deal to younger, but as you get older, that's the last thing you want happening is your understanding to get dulled. If you think about it, people that you know that are wayward, their understanding got dulled to what's really happening. Another thing that happened is their hearts got hardened. They start arguing, blaming, they're just missing it, and then their hearts get hardened to the truth of what's right before them. What's right before them, guys? Jesus, he's sitting in the boat. He's talking to them. But their hearts were hardened. And then he says, you have eyes that can't see. You have ears that can't hear. Do you know what that means? Listen, when we don't focus on Jesus as our portion and our provider, do you know what we begin to do? We begin to lose vision. We begin to perish in our hearts without having any vision or hope for the future. We've taken our eyes off of our hope and our future, and we lose vision. He says, you have eyes, but you can't see. Do you know what else? Do you know what happens? We can't hear. Do you know how many people in 20 plus years of full-time ministry I have heard that say, I just can't hear God? And you go back to this. What are you not trusting him for? Or what's the sin in your life? He said, you can't even hear me. You have eyes you can't see. You have ears that cannot hear. And then the last 3 questions are summed up in this, a forgetfulness to the faithfulness of God. They just get forgetful. That's why it is so important to always count your blessings, to be thankful, to be present, to say, you know what, I may not have that newest jacket, but at least I've got a warm coat. I may not have this newest thing, this newest video game or whatever it is kids play, but at least I have dirt to play in. That's why it's so important for us to be thankful, to be grateful. We have to remember and we have to meditate. I'm going to give you three scriptures real quick. Lamentations 3:24. In case you needed the reminder, I want you guys to hear this. The Lord is my portion. Okay? We look everywhere else, don't we? We are looking everywhere else. And he says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Because he's my portion, I have hope. I never have to be wayward. The Lord is my portion. 2 Corinthians 9:8, you can write this down. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times. You listening? In all things at all times. In all things at all times, having all that you need. I don't know if you caught all in that. Not partial, all that you need. You will abound in every good work. He's like, I'm not just going to give you what you need for this. You're going to abound in it. Again, he takes our lack and he gives back abundance, right? Psalms 34:10, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. When we seek the Lord, seek him first. Remember, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these things are added unto you. The key here, seeking. What are you looking to? What are you focused on here? After they answered 12, 7, verse 21, if you guys are following along, Mark 8, Jesus says, don't you understand yet? Don't you understand yet? That word understand really stood out to me. Because I was like, what does that even mean? Have you ever stopped at a word and been like, what does of mean? O-F. I stumbled over that all the time as a kid. Still do. I'm like, of. Where did that come from? Understand. Flip it. To stand under. Okay? What are you standing under? Jesus says, I need you to come and stand under. Do you know what you're standing under? The idea. You're coming under the truth. You're understanding the truth. It means that you can come up under what he's saying, right? And it's just inadequate ideas, that you're understanding just inadequate ideas. It's the same ideas as the person who speaks. So whoever's speaking to you, when you go, I understand, you're saying, I can come up under what you're saying. Your mom says, I'm telling you, if you leave your shoes out one more time and I trip over them, or if you leave your Legos out and you cripple me because I stepped on it barefoot, I'm telling you, I will hide them until Jesus comes back. You'll say, yes, ma'am, I understand. And you're going, I can come up underneath that truth because mama's going to hide my Legos if I don't put them away when I'm done playing with them. You got to come up and understand. Listen, it also means to know the meaning. Like, he's like, do you know the meaning? Do you know the meaning of what I'm trying to teach you right now about who I am, the truth of this? But more than anything, guys, get this definition of understand. It means to know by experience. To know by experience what he has taught you and what you know to be true. It also means to know by instinct. It becomes so instinctual inside of us. God will provide. He will provide. But this is what's awesome. I know you kids aren't interested in the Greek right here, and I am getting ready to close. But parents, listen to this. Right here in verse 21, understand as Jesus was using this word. Listen to what this means. To set or bring together, in a hostile sense, combatants. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, take the unbelief that is hostile towards the truth and bring it up under me. That's what it's saying. Take your unbelief that's going to lead to a hardened heart, that's going to lead to dulled understanding, that's going to lead to eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, and a complete forgetfulness of my faithfulness. He's saying, listen, take what is hostile, that is a combatant, against what is truth and bring it up under what you know that I am. I'm your provider. I will meet these needs. Don't you understand? I want to close with a couple of these verses for you guys to encourage you. In case you're like, help me understand, Lord. Help me believe. I don't want hostile unbelief to be fighting and warring against God the provider. I want to believe that I can take my lack, my insufficiency, and he'll bless it and do above and beyond what I could think or imagine. Listen to this. Psalms 119, 144 says, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. He's saying, look at this. These testimonies of the word, they're righteous forever. They will be right forever. Read them, right? Understand them. Remember, come up under, stand under these testimonies, right? That you may live. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, consider what I say. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Do you know in the Proverbs, very often when we talk about wisdom, we're always like, it's about wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. But do you know, wisdom and understanding are roommates. It's wisdom and understanding. You get the wisdom, the revelation of God. He takes information, makes it revelation, and then he says, now, come and stand under it. It's one thing to have that wisdom. Now, pull it all, anything hostile that's standing against who God is and the truth of who he is, take that and understand. Psalms 119, 130. This is my last passage of scripture for you guys. In case you're like, hey, I'm new to this, and I hope there are people in the room that are new to this. I hope that you've never heard anything like this before. There may be people in the room that have never cried out to the Lord to be their Savior and their Redeemer. And you're going, I don't get it. This is so new. Or maybe you're a kindergartner. Or maybe you're a new believer. Maybe you're however far down the journey that you guys are on. This is a promise. I want you to write it down. Psalm 119, 130. Listen to this. The teaching of your word gives light so even the simple can understand. You don't have to be a PhD Harvard graduate. Do you know that even the simple, parents, your little ones can understand. You can start teaching them truth now, and they can understand it. The teaching of your word gives light. Hey, I want to remind you guys, when Jesus had compassion on the crowds, what did he do before he fed them? What did he do? He taught them. He taught them. Do you know, he taught his words to them. It says, the teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. That's what he came to do, to teach us. Isn't it so cool that we can read his words and still be taught and still have understanding? Won't you guys stand with me? We're going to close and give some instructions for our potluck. But we're going to pray. Ask the Lord to speak to us. When we close, we're also going to take our offering. For those of you guys who are visiting, obviously no obligation. We have our offering bowls at the front. You can also text your giving to do it online. But when I dismiss, you can come and bring your offering, and then we'll give some instructions. But Lord, thank you so much for our children's ministry. Thank you for Soma Kids. Thank you for our workers, Stephanie, who worked so hard, Lord, that loves and sows into these kids, our coordinators, our volunteers. Thank you for the parents that are sowing good things into their kids. Lord, we all ask right now, for understanding. We want to believe. Lord, I pray for any area of unbelief in our hearts that got exposed in this teaching, something that is hostile towards the truth. Would you show us that and help us come under what we know to be true? And that is, you are a faithful, loving God who has compassion on us. And you want to take where we don't have enough and give us an excess. And abundance. Show us how to live that out in front of our kids. God, I pray that not one kid will ever struggle with anxiety as an adult. I'm going to claim that now in the name of Jesus, that not one of these children in this room will ever struggle with wondering if you're going to come through. I pray that right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, every single kid in this room has something so deep inside of them, such a strong belief that says, God is my provider. Even if I don't have enough, even when I'm tired and weak and fatigued, even when I'm afraid, God is enough. I pray that will be a solid, anchored truth in their hearts right now. That just grows up inside of them like that mustard seed in Jesus' name. And help us as their elders to model it and lead them in that. You are faithful. As we sang earlier, you are faithful. Help us never, ever to forget that. In Jesus' name, amen.